You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only Mr. Matt James.
What's going on, David?
Listen, you're now, I mean, is that what happens when I introduce you like that? You rock the shades. Is that all it takes to get you to put the shades on, Matt?
You know, honestly, Rachel left these beside my computer and they look kind of fitting for the intro, so I had to throw them on.
Are they hers or are they yours?
You know what? At this point, who knows? You know, I borrow a lot of her stuff. She borrows a lot of my stuff. So these are definitely her glasses, but there's a 10 out of 10 chance I'll have these on at some point.
Listen, it's all the same after a while, right?
Right.
Is there a favorite article that you borrow of hers that she wears? I mean, I assume you can't fit into her shirts or pants.
That's an interesting point because she can fit into my shirts and my hoodies. So, you know, when a lot of that stuff goes missing, I know where the culprit is, but her sunglasses is something that, you know, we can both, I have a bigger head than her, so I stretch out a lot of her stuff. So she hides all her stuff from me anyways.
Oh my God. Well, listen, before we got to say congratulations. I mean, first impressions, off-screen conversations with a bachelor on race, family, and forgiveness. Like, the book is here, May 3rd, available for pre-order, everybody, right now. Like, congratulations.
Thank you, David. Yeah, no, I'm excited. That was a long time in the making, like drop a clue bomb. Very excited to share that with everybody.
I mean, the first question for me is like, why now? Like, you know what I mean? Like you said, it's a long time in the coming. Like, you know, was there a particular reason why you felt now is the right time?
I want to say that it's not one of those books where it's like, you know, when I was born, it's like, it's not like this, like, follows your entire life, like, because I'm only 30, but there's key themes in my life that I think resonate with everybody. So it started out selfishly to vindicate my image of the bachelor. I'm like, I don't feel like that was a representation of who I am, what I'm about, and like dive into the things that are important in my life. And I'm like, for the people who care, I want to put together, you know, a collection of stories that represent why I might have gone about things the way I did. And as I'm recalling and recounting those different experiences that led me to this point in my life, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is in parallel with millions of different people. And I saw that from how my story on screen resonated with a bunch of different people all across the world. I'm getting messages about people who are reconciling with family members, people who grew up as the odd person out in multi-race relations and so forth. You will find a million themes throughout the book, and I guarantee one resonates with you.
What was the actual process of like writing a book like for you? I mean, it's not easy, right?
It was difficult, David. Like a lot of brainstorming sessions with Cole Brown, who this wouldn't have been possible without him, who I wrote the book with. And honestly, the experience of being on The Bachelor prepped me in terms of being able to dive into things that I didn't want to talk about. Like, it's very hard for me to go to places that make me emotional and bring back traumatic experiences. But like, I had to address those things face on the show. So it had already warmed me up to that process. And putting them on paper, like, really helps you identify things in your life that, like, you have and found issue with. And as I did that, I'm just like addressing these things head on. And it was a very healthy exercise. I would equate it to journaling. It's like, we took this journal and we compiled it together into a very concise book, and we're going to be sharing it with everybody. So
kind of like therapy.
Journaling. Right? I've been journaling with Hannah Brown's freaking journal right here. It's been a good practice. I'm trying to practice what I preach, and it's helped. It really helps me collect all my thoughts and get everything on paper before I go to bed.
I love it. It's kind of like therapy, right? Like going through the whole process.
Yeah.
Was there anything that's, because I've read a lot of, you know, huge chunks of this book, actually most of it. Was there anything in particular, or one or two things where you were like on the, you know, verge of like, maybe this goes in, maybe this is too personal?
For sure. I mean, especially all the things with your family. You know, I think that that's the big thing whenever you're going to do something as public as go on a TV show, that's going to dive into those areas of your life. And then from the things that I shared in my book, like, that just goes even more personal. And like, just to scratch the surface, like, I have a handful of family members that have been in and out of the penal system and have spent time in prison, time in jail. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are incarcerated across the country, which means there's family and friends of those people that are affected by those decisions and those things going on. So that right there is something that people can draw a connection to and be like, oh my gosh, I went through the same thing. So diving into those stories was difficult initially, but like, again, when you're vulnerable and you share things like that, it allows people around you who have similar things going on to be like, hey, like, if he's making it through this, then like, I can draw strength from that too.
Did you have any reservations in saying yes to writing this book? Maybe like, you know.
Honestly, no, because, you know, it started from this frustration of like, I don't like how things are appearing on screen. Like, this isn't who I am. Like, and not only is it not who I am, but there's so many important things that were discussed and that I wanted to be portrayed that were just skipped over. So I'm like, it's got to fall on me to make sure that gets out there. And it was something that I wanted to take on head.
What were some particular things, like, just that you thought were skipped over or not portrayed, or maybe filmed in, like, you know, just on the cutting room floor because they weren't, you know, forwarding that sexy story of like, let's go right in this direction?
I mean, it was raw. Like, the things that I talk about is real shit. Like, the stuff with my family, my dad, and my brother, and all these other people in my family who have been in and out of jail. Like, I'm sharing that stuff with the women so that they know what they're getting when they bring me home to their parents. Like, I don't want it to be some shock. Like, this is The Bachelor. I've got a lot of stuff that comes with that. And like, that wasn't probably the wholesome story that was, you know, wanting to be portrayed in what they were selling, but that's real. Like, that's real life, and that's what people go through. And I think when you double down on stuff like that, you're going to get a more authentic story, and people who are bought in, opposed to this like Hollywood, everything's that glitters is gold. Like, nah, like, everyone who's on that show has been through some hurt. And like, when you double down on that, then I feel like that's when you gain real connection. So I'm just doubling down now on being authentic and just sharing things that I've been through in hopes that, you know, people can resonate with that.
Well, speaking of family, that is one of the three themes that we have on the cover of the book. Like, has like your family read it? Like, I know you're very close with your mom. Like, what did your mom think of this book?
She was taken back, you know, because there's a lot of stuff in there that's uncomfortable to have conversations with people about. And there's a lot of things in my childhood that, you know, I didn't know how to articulate to her at the time, but that I was going through as well as my brother, you know, being like a young Black kid who was being raised by a white mom with no dad in a predominantly, you know, rough neighborhood. So people have a bunch of questions, and I'm going to school with all white kids. So it's like, there's a bunch of different craziness that, as you can imagine, that's ensuing as we're trying to figure out our identity, where we fit into this matrix, why our dad isn't around, like getting in and out of trouble, near death experiences. Like, it's a mosh posh of just like realness.
It is very real. And you also talk in this book a lot about, you know, expectations, not, you know, of you as like Matt James of the Bachelor, but just you as like Matt James, a man, and like what's been expected of you and like stereotypes. Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think that was one of the reasons why I was excited to accept that role as The Bachelor, because where we were as a country at that time, and really where we still are, you know, it's always fascinating when I see things on my Explore page on TikTok or on Twitter, and it's like, you know, 1960, when we first integrated this, I'm like, damn, that was like 50 years ago. Like, that's not even that long. Like, that's like a generation removed, you know, like we're not that far out from like these crazy times. So like, if there's an opportunity for someone like myself to come in and be a good representation of like what a Black man is and what he's about, and bash those, you know, stereotypes that are cast on a broad view of, or a broad group of people through my experience on the show, then like, what better opportunity is that to, you know, be a bridge builder?
How much of that like factored into your decision to say yes to being The Bachelor? Was it, you know, as opposed to like, I'm single and, you know, maybe it's time for me to find someone?
I think that that was the main thing. You know, it's like being naive. I'm just like, yeah, like I saw how refined Tyler came back after his experience on The Bachelorette. And, you know, I wanted something like that for myself, not having been in a serious relationship in a long time. And then after accepting that, that's when the onslaught of like, you know what your responsibility is, like, you know what you have to do. And I'm just like, damn, like, what do I have to do? You know, it's like, I thought I was going on like the expectation for me was different than, you know, someone else coming on the show, just looking to find love, which, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm not upset about that. I took that challenge on, like, I wanted to take that challenge on. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't think that's a bad thing either. It's just a heavy thing, right? Like you say, your experience is different than everyone else's in that sense. Did you ever kind of second guess it, or, you know, like, I got to back out of this, you know, once you took this on and then the whole world is telling you, you know, these are your responsibilities, this is the weight you're carrying on your back, and you're like, whoa, like, just slow down for a minute.
No, I never wanted to back out, but I just continued to be reminded of the gravity of that decision because of how polarizing my presence and decision-making would be. But I made a promise to myself before the show that I wasn't going to let my decision-making be swayed by trying to please the public, trying to please white people, Black people, Asian people. Like, I was trying to find happiness and peace for myself. And that's what I did. And I just remained real to myself. And that made my decision-making very easy because I wasn't trying to please the network. I wasn't trying to please that person. Like, I was just staying true to myself and everything that I did.
Right. Like, you didn't feed into, you know, comments, or like, you eliminated this person. Like, what does that mean in the bigger sense? If you really were able to stay just like, this is my heart, I'm in this bubble, and that's why I'm here.
You have to, because if you don't, then like, and it's the worst thing. Like, when you see someone trying to do those things, because you're never going to please everybody. So like, let's say you send somebody home. It's like, they're going to love that. And they're like, why'd you do that? And you're like, oh, snap. Like they're going to hate every single thing you do. Like, someone's going to have something to say about everything you do. So like, how are you going to find happiness if you're trying to please people that can't be pleased? And it's an impossible journey. So, and people are fickle, you know, they change their minds and you can change their minds. So like, you know, people who were in your corner initially and then hated you halfway through, then love you now and the relationship that you're in, like, you just got to be patient, and you can't let that stuff have a bearing on your physical and mental health, because, you know, if you march to the beat of how you're perceived by people, then, I mean, that's a dangerous place to be in.
It's a really dangerous place to be in, but you do, I mean, that's another theme that you do talk about in this book of like, you know, being a people pleaser, like, you weren't always in this position that you are in now, where you're like, that's a dangerous thing. I mean, you talk about how you were a people pleaser at points in your life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I think like everyone wants to be, I can't see everyone. I say, I want to be liked. I think it's important to want to be like liked and respected and whatever by your peers. And as long as I was trying, but this is what it boiled down to for me. Like, yeah, I want to be liked by everybody. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to compromise my faith and like what I believe in to make those things happen. So as long as I'm honoring God and doing the things I need to do to be a good Christian and a good person, then everything else doesn't matter, because I know that what I'm doing is pleasing and honoring to God. Then like, if I make somebody unhappy in that, then like, I'm sorry. Like, that's tough and they'll get over it. But like, I can't bend the knee, as you would say for Game of Thrones, just every single situation, because I'm just be walking around on my knees. I'll just be walking around on my knees all day. So
right. Like, you have to be authentic to yourself.
I got to.
Which this leads me to your Instagram, you know, a few days ago, or I mean, within the last week, you shaved your beard. This very, I mean, I thought that video was touching and great. Like, talk to me a little bit about the video and like, you know, what it symbolizes and how you came to this decision.
Yeah, no, that was a very fun project for me because,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We come together every day, 5 days a week, and we are from all different walks of life, shapes, sizes, locations. But there is one thing we all have in common here, and that is we love reality TV. Come on, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you didn't. I have to tell you, I am obsessed with Being. Being is reality TV gold. Listen, Being is an innovative new audio format like no other podcast you've ever heard. This season, it's Being Trans. You're going to meet Chloe. You're going to meet Jeffrey, Mariana, and Sai. Over the course of 6 episodes, you get to be a fly on the wall. And I know you guys love that, from their most intimate conversations. They're unscripted, raw. You're going to hear it all. You'll be right alongside them as they handle health, family, relationships, love, friendships, professional careers, and everything else that comes with living life as a transgender person in LA. With this podcast, you'll gain unique insights and an empathetic understanding of their personal experiences. From Lemonada Media's Being Studios, this is audio reality. This is Being Trans. Literally, think about it. We now have reality in the form of a podcast. You're just going to sit back and you're going to observe. It is so good, you guys. Being Trans is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
During the show, you know, I didn't want to have a beard. I wanted to be clean shaven. I wanted to, you know, that was my bachelor phase. And then as I'm becoming into my own person again, having to like, you know, when you're on someone else's time, schedule, whatever, like you just become a robot. And then when you get out of that, it's like you just had that COVID beard, that quarantine beard. It's like, man, I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to be doing anything. I'm not reporting to anybody right now, except for, you know, nobody. So I'm just going to grow my beard out. And it just became this like rebellious type thing for me. Like Rachel, I told Rachel, I'm gonna grow my beard out. And if at any point you don't like it, then like, I'll shave it. Like it's really not that deep. Like I'll shave it. I don't care. She's like, no, I like it. Like keep growing it. So like I continue to grow it and people felt some type of way about it. They were like, that thing's ugly. You look like a thug. Like you look so much better with it shaved. And like, it's things that I've heard my whole life, you know, when I had dreads, it's like, yo, you look dangerous. Like you don't look approachable when you have dreads. I'm like, because of why? Like what in society, like what in our history has led people who look like that to be scary any more than, you know, your not to stereotype people, but like any more than like anybody else who's ever done anything wrong. Like there's bad people are bad people and good people are good people. And there's no what that looks like. And when we try to put people into categories, it's dangerous. And so for me, I'm like, if I can be a good person and have a beard, then like maybe, you know, playing into that thing that we talked about earlier, maybe I could change the hearts and minds of people. And then I went on to explain after I cut it, it's like, you know, people are unaccepting of people who don't look like them until they need those people. And that could be from, you know, a doctor or someone who's going to fight the war for you, or a service person, a police officer, a firefighter. It's like, you know, whenever, until you rely on that person for something, you're like, oh my gosh, like maybe all these people aren't like that. And it's like, it was just a play on like, don't judge a book by its cover. Like when I was younger, you know, tattoos, if you had a tattoo, you're never going to get a job. Like you're a bum if you have a tattoo. A lot of people have tattoos, and this isn't like a pro tattoo campaign, but it's like, you've got to be accepting to, you know, different cultures and what people are doing. And as long as they're not harming anybody and they're being good people, then, you know, you should be pretty open-minded to things. And it was just something to have people have an open mind towards people who don't look like them or might be doing things that they don't agree with. And as long as, you know, it's not harming someone, then they should be optimistic towards it.
I would agree with all that. Or right, like, you know, you have a stereotype of someone, right, until they walk in the room and like, that is your doctor, or who is that? Oh, wait, that's so-and-so. I love their music. Or that's just, you know, it's the same person, and your whole opinion just changed within a matter of one, because you know one thing about them now. So it's, exactly. I thought it was a powerful, and when you were growing your beard too, I mean, it sounds like some of that, not in a bad way, was just rebellion of the, like, I'm so sick of everyone weighing in and having an opinion on everything I do, after going through an experience where people, you know, you were not controlled. I mean, maybe that's the wrong word, but you were part of a show and a network. It was just kind of like, it's my time now. Like, I just need a break. Right. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's kind of the sense I got as well.
Yeah. It was a healthy expression of that. You know, I think there's a lot of harmful ways to go about being rebellious, but I felt like growing out a beard was just like a peaceful protest. You know, it's like, I'm going to do this. And, you know, when people ask about it, it gives me an opportunity to talk about my truth. And that's kind of what I used it for.
And in coming into your own, and now you say, you know, like, you're authentically yourself, like, did the actual process of The Bachelor, like, you know, it sounds like it really helped you and prepared you to kind of write this book, because you already bared your soul in a lot of ways. Like, did The Bachelor change you as a person, and like everything you went through as far as like, I just have to be authentic to myself? Or were you kind of there just in terms of working out your own stuff before, if that makes any sense?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, The Bachelor helped in a major way. And it's disappointing for not only someone like myself, but former leads and participants in the show that had this like negative connotation towards the experience, just based on, you know, how they were exploited or how they were used and how they were portrayed, whatever, because it's such a, in the moment, such a fun experience. Like, everyone's growing, everyone's learning. You're learning about yourself. You're having to talk about things and be vulnerable. And I think that there's a healthy way to go about using that energy and content that you're pulling out of these people that's more in line with telling an authentic story, opposed to, you know, being exploitative. And that's why you see so many people from the franchise being like, oh, I don't want to be associated. And it's sad, because there's so many good people that have come out of it that like no longer want to be like, oh, like, I don't want to be Bachelor this, I don't want to be Bachelor that. Like, and I get it. Like, it sucks, because it was like, it was a cool experience. Like, I met freaking Rachel on it, who I love. I met a bunch of incredible women. I met friends from past seasons. I connected with former Bachelor, Bachelorettes. Like, it's an incredible community and ecosystem to be a part of. And, you know, because of a couple bad actors, you know, it's like shameful to associate with it, because it's like, you know, you don't want to be one of those people. So
do you think that's like reality TV in general, or is there something unique about The Bachelor and just the way, you know, it's rolled out to the world that it's maybe more unique to that?
No, it's not reality TV. I think when people say that, it's a cop-out, because there's a bunch of different verticals that you can go to experience whatever you want to experience. If you want to go, you can go watch Love is Blind. You can go watch The Ultimatum. You can go watch 90 Day Fiance. You can go watch Too Hot to Handle, F-Boy Island, like whatever genre of like drama or like intensity or like sexuality you're looking for, go find it. But like something like The Bachelor that's rooted on like wholesomeness and like a love story, that's like getting away from that now with all the nonsense, it's like, it's frustrating, you know, because there's something there. And like, instead of chasing like, you know, these other like shows that are going off, like double down on like what you like, what brought people in initially, and like you'll be fine. So
right, like it's not, the title isn't FBoy Island or Love is Blind. Like it's, you know,
don't make it that.
Yeah,
it's the Bachelor, Bachelorette. It's Bachelor in Paradise. Like just like find your niche and like don't chase something else.
I see that you know your reality TV. Do you watch all these shows, and do you watch any other reality TV shows?
So just with being a part of it, like being a lead on the show, you just get thrown into that ecosystem. So like I have friends that were on other reality TV shows. I have friends that, you know, were on other dating shows, and like the way that those people are portrayed, everyone has this, idea of these people, like, oh, these people are like horrible people, or these people are crazy. Like they're just like everybody else. And like knowing that, that's why it's so frustrating when I see these like narratives floating around, when it's like, but again, you go on certain shows to have certain type of experiences. And I, long-winded answer, but to answer your question, it's hard not to. It's all over the place, and it's so like, it's such a tire fire. Like you're not gonna, how can you like not watch like when someone's like a 90 Day Fiance type show, or like something that just has like such suspense and like such buzz around it, and like these clips that are being pulled and like shared on social, it's like, I don't want to be in the dark on this. Like, this is hilarious. Like, I want to watch this. So they're doing something right if everyone's talking about it, you know?
And some of the titles, you're just like, okay, like FBoy Island, like, I don't really even need to see a clip. Like, just sign me up and like, buy me the subscription for the whole season. And like, really? I will, right? Same with 90 Day Fiance. I'm like, this is literally the most brilliant concept in the entire world. Like, what did we do before this?
Right.
What about like, does Rachel watch like Real Housewives? Does she suck you into any of that stuff? Or is she not? I mean, I'm just assuming as a straight man, you don't watch Real Housewives. No.
I honestly don't mind Real Housewives because I'm a big fan of Andy Cohen. So, you know, he's someone who covers a lot of that stuff. And, you know, being on Dancing with the Stars, I'm really close with Kenya now, who is a Real Housewife. Again, you just get pulled into that ecosystem, and I'm friendly with a handful of those people. And so it's fun to know these people as people, and then to see their lives portrayed on, you know, reality TV. And it's like, it's an exciting place to be in, to have both vantage points, you know?
Well, you know, 2 days before your brilliant book comes out, the Real Housewives, your friend Kenya Moore is back on our Bravo screens, the Real Housewives of Atlanta. So you can just get ready to watch the new season.
I can't wait. Yeah, no, she's been active. She's I'm very excited for that season. She's going to be, she's going to play a key role in that.
Out of everyone you were on Dancing with the Stars with, like, what was it about Kenya that just kind of drew you to her?
Her realness, you know, like she just was, we just related on a bunch of different stuff. Like, and you can insert Kenya for any of the stars. I mean, it was just such a out of body experience, like being around, you know, a Melora Hardin, like someone I grew up watching and like admiring, and then like sharing the stage with her. And then like, you know, Iman Shumpert, you know, who went on to freaking win it all. Like someone who I played as Iman on 2K. Like I've watched him play basketball for years. I listened to Jimmy Allen's music. I watched Suni on the, like, it's all these people that you respect and admire. And then you're having this interaction and relationship with them as people, and it just changes your perspective on everything. So, yeah, but yeah, Kenya, I mean, she's just a real one. So whenever you are around someone who is authentic and real and not fake in a world where there's so much of that, you just gravitate towards those type of people.
Kenya is authentically Kenya. That I can say. I mean, I don't think she knows how to be any other way.
Nope.
How was Dancing with the Stars just as a, on the level of difficult things you've done in your career?
I mean, it was up there. Like it's tough, bro. Like they're so talented. They make it look easy, and they do such a good job of like making sure that you have your steps down. But then like when you're critiqued by, you know, when you're set up against your peers, and like you're going up against all these other amazing, incredible athletes and dancers, it's like, these people are really talented, and you take it for granted because, you know, they make it look so easy. but it's not. It was very hard. And I have just, my respect for them just continues to grow as I spend time around them and see the hours and sweat and blood and tears that they put into that profession. Like, yeah, it was incredible. I really enjoyed it.
Do you remember, like, if I said, you know, tonight, go and do a pasta doble, go and do a tango. Like, do you remember a lot of stuff? I mean.
Hell no. That shit was hard. I do not remember that. Like, Lindsay would be coaching me up to the very last second. Like, I'm like, all right, Lindsay, let's do one more last walk there before we go out there. Yeah, no, it was tough. It was tough.
You know, you talk about how like The Bachelor kind of changed you and how like, you know, it did help with like you getting in touch with your authentic self. Did you ever go down that road of like, you know, here are all the comments and, you know, and if you did that kind of then affect like things you did after The Bachelor, if that makes any sense?
Not really. Like I'm very fortunate and lucky because I had someone like Tyler go through it before me and I saw how he navigated everything. And like, if I had seen his example, then I probably would have been weeds in the articles and making sure that like, what's people saying about me here and there? You can't read that stuff because good or bad, it's going to change. And there's going to be something that happens that it's going to be unpopular with a bunch of people. So you can't ever be swayed by how people are feeling. Again, as long as you're not doing something that's hurting someone or that's, you know, not right morally. Yeah, so I didn't get wrapped up in that stuff.
You didn't. I finally got and am finally getting a good night's sleep. Listen, if you think as a self-respecting New Yorker working on this podcast 24/7 with all the stress that comes along with it, that I have gotten a good night's sleep over the past many years, you are sadly mistaken. Well, listen, now I get a good night's sleep and it's all because of Dormeo. If you suffer from any type of achy hips, back, shoulders, anything when you sleep, listen, you have to try the premium mattress topper by Dormeo. At a fraction of a cost of a new mattress, a fraction, you can get that new bed feeling without having to buy a new bed. And literally, like for me, it really meant not waking up anymore throughout the whole night with all these aches and pains. And I finally sleep well, you guys. Now, of course, Dormeo's mattress topper has a full range of sizes from twin all the way through king. Dormeo has a 10-year warranty, a 100-night risk-free trial, and free shipping. So what do you have to lose? Right now, you can go to dormeo.com/velvet and you'll receive 30% off of your Dormeo mattress topper. That's the best offer you'll find anywhere, but you have to go to dormeo.com/velvet. Remember, with their 10-year warranty and a 100-night risk-free trial, plus free shipping, it's crazy not to give Dormeo a try. I don't know if you kind of answered this, but look, you went on The Bachelor, everyone knows what happened. Like, you get there and like you're falling for, you know, the person you're falling for. Now we have like, you know, we've had Bachelor controversies before, but you know, this might be up there as far as like these racially insensitive pictures. And so like, did any part of you, like, how can I phrase this? Like, so after when, you know, you didn't choose Rachel, you guys broke up. We all know you guys found your way back together. Was any part of you not being true to your heart in the sense of like, look what's going on in the world, right? Like, I mean, it's still going on. Like, I'm not saying we've made some progress, right? Like things were happening, look where the country was. And now like the optics on this are like, how can I choose this? How can I say I love her? I mean, we are there now. I get that. But at the time, like, how could you? Like for me as a viewer, when you broke up and it didn't work out, to me, I guess it was about you being authentic, but it was also like, well, how could you ever, as a Black man, and like you read this book and you learn all this stuff about you, how could you ever choose her? And yes, that's authentic in that it may not have been a connection, but it's more like the world is watching. Like, right? We were at a different place even then. I mean, it was like everything was being analyzed. Does that make sense? Right. Yeah. Ever play into your... like, I just can't stand up in front of the world because of this weight, like you said, that everyone was putting on you.
I think it was more so like, I just wanted to validate that my feelings were as strong as they were, because I knew I loved Rachel. And like, when you go into that Bachelor bubble when you're like on the show. You don't have a phone, you don't have family, like no one to bounce ideas off of. Like you can, and I'm sure you, if you ask a handful of the women from my season, like they thought they loved me or whatever, whatever. Like it was, you know, we had known each other for a couple weeks, so who knows what they really felt. And I had to make sure that like how strongly I felt about her wasn't just me being in this like ultra intense experience. And, you know, when we separated briefly, like I thought about her daily and I wanted to reach out to her and talk to her. And those feelings were there. And the person, and I knew the person that I fell in love with outside of everything else that I had learned. And I knew that we could build on what we had. And that's what we've done. And it's been awesome.
And I mean, do you look back and you say, in a way, I mean, look, some couples go out and they have a great first year and they have their drinks and they go to parties and life is good, right? And then like a year into it or a year and a half or 6 months, whatever it is, you're like, wait a second, we have some things here we need to talk about. Like, do you ever look back and say, in a way, like you guys really, I mean, talk about like open, honest communication and just breaking it down. You kind of just jumped off the deep end, right? I mean, you had to.
Yeah, I think about other relationships I've been in, and this is the most mature relationship, hands down, I've ever had. So, like, I've never had, like, I just imagine myself, like, in college or, like, right out of college, like, having the conversations I was having with Rachel. Like, I wasn't there. Like, so we were already so much further along than any place I'd ever been in a relationship. And to go through something like that together just meant for me that we were battle tested. And if we could handle something like that, then we would have no problem handling any other type of adversity that came in our relationship.
Did Rachel weigh in at all on this book? Like, did you run things by her? Did she have a reaction when you said, you know, I'm writing a book and yes, here's the race box and here's like the family box, but the relationship box is also going to be part of this in the title of this book?
Well, yeah, she was in it. So I thought it was really important to run everything by her to make sure that she knew what I was going to be talking about. And there was no surprises when, you know, that story was rolled out, more so than I did with my family. You know, I didn't run a lot of things past, you know, my mom, my dad, because, you know, those experiences were what they were. But having gone through these experiences with Rachel, I wanted to make sure that, you know, since she hasn't gone on podcasts or Good Morning America and the things that I've had the opportunity to do, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't further getting away from, you know, how things happen, because, you know, everyone experiences everything differently. So, you know, my experience would be different from hers. And I just wanted to make sure she had input in that. And so, yeah, I was bouncing things off Rachel.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And then did she read any parts? And, you know, it's your book, it's your story, but say like, okay, you know, say what you have to, because it is your experience. People experience things different. But was there anything that stood out where she was like, this is just not how I experienced this or remember this or anything like that?
For sure. And that's why you have conversation. You know, that's why you have conversation with someone as you're putting that together. Because if something's one-sided, then I think it's going to read as one-sided. And I just wanted to make sure that as I was telling our story, it was an accurate portrayal of where we were at. So that had to be a collaborative conversation.
Do you have any like fun highs, like just to lighten it up, like fun highs from being on The Bachelor? I mean, other than obviously the best thing I would think you would say would be meeting Rachel and here you are, but like anything stick out as like, that was just really a fun experience.
Just like the I don't know the right word or adjective for it, but like the adolescence of our conversation, like looking back at the conversations that Rachel and I had and like the moments that we shared, feeling like we were in high school again, and then like seeing where we are now is like funny to look back on. And I always, when I poke fun at Rachel, because there's certain group dates and stuff that like one of the funniest things for me was like, there was a night where Rachel freaking got a group date rose or like a one-on-one rose. I forget which one it was, but she had a rose going into the cocktail party. And as I go to like start handing out roses and stuff, she's safe for the night. She's not going home. She's like bawling, crying. And like, I could tell she had been crying. So I was just like, why is, like, what could she possibly be upset about if she's like safe for the night? And like the women had formed these relationships with the other women who were there, and they almost enjoyed hanging out with each other more than they did myself, which is understandable. They're spending all this time together in the house. So like whenever you sent home one of the women, it was just like big event. So everyone, I had to be sensitive to the fact that that was going on. And it was just like blew my mind that that was a thing. I'm like, wait, y'all are safe, but you're upset about other people going home. I was just like, what? But yeah, stuff like that, I look back on, I'm like, that still blows my mind. Like that was a funny, like that was funny that I was like so out of touch.
Right. Like these women actually are spending so much time together. They're becoming friends. And if I'm not going to choose that, they might as well, you know, meet some friends on this experience. Right.
Yeah.
What about, you know, I've talked to other people that were the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, and a lot of them say, you know, not all of them, but a lot of them say like, you can tell right away. I mean, I guess, could you tell right away? And if so, like, how hard was that then? You know, you're making a TV show. I mean, you can't reveal anything. Like, so whatever, ever, you know, I mean, you still are going through the process to be true to yourself, but like, did you know right away? And if so, how hard is that to just kind of, you know, let's not give this girl all the attention and make it that obvious. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have editors and production experts, but right. Like you wouldn't really know that. You'd be like, wait, am I being so obvious here?
I think that for the full answer, they're going to have to read the book for that one. But I will say that what I was drawn to Rachel was her realness and her authenticity. And when you're in a space like I was, and anybody who's in that position, like you're going to be drawn to someone like that because there's so much like fraudulent things going around and like emotions and feelings. And I didn't see that with her. And that's why I was just so drawn to her.
Talk to me about, because you also talk in the book about how like you guys kind of came back to each other and how it was fate. I mean, everyone that doesn't know the story can read the book. Like, I mean, I know that like you're very, you know, into your religion. Like how much is fate like a part of your life?
100%. I think that there's when we try to will things, or I guess I can only speak for myself. Whenever I try to will things in my life, they typically don't pan out the way that I'd like them to pan out because, you know, my belief is that, you know, when I'm pursuing things that God wants me to do, he's going to honor those things. And when I'm pursuing things that I selfishly want to do outside of what he wants me to do, then I'm going to fall flat on my face because I've found through trial and error that I can't do things on my own strength. Like I've got to rely on his guidance so that I will continue to make right decisions. And working towards a space that he wants me to be in. And so whenever I try to do things on my own, it never works out. So, you know, I've through the obstacles that I faced in my life, I just have to rely on him to make sure that I'm doing all the things that I need to be doing so that I'm going to stay in his will and continue to grow and have favor. So, that's kind of a long-winded answer. I don't know if it answers your question, but just being very prayerful and, you know, not trying to will my way or selfishly do things that I think would be in my best interest because it just never works out.
That does make a lot of sense. Well, listen, The Bachelor gave you your girlfriend in the form of Rachel, but how is your boyfriend? How is Mr. Tyler Cameron doing today?
He's busy. He's got a show that, I don't want to give too much about, but it should be a construction show on a major network that could be close to being finished. And I'm excited for him. He's a general contractor and the housing market right now, it couldn't be a better time to be building. So he's been busy and he's been back in Florida a lot. So he's tapped in.
Well, he's also busy with you. Talk to us about ABC Food Tours. I think a lot of people don't know about that.
Yeah, that's a nonprofit we co-founded that's based in New York City. And the students that we service are from low-income areas and neighborhoods. And we focused on, with everything that happened with COVID and how our families were affected, we reshifted and allocated our resources to double down on, you know, financial literacy with our students, a reinvestment into, you know, health and exercise and living a healthy lifestyle and providing that education for them. Because initially we were going on these group field trips to restaurants and fitness studios throughout New York City. And that has changed. You know, if there's different guidelines in place, you know, are people vaccinated? Do people have masks? Can they work out and do this and that? And a lot of the restaurants that we supported, you know, folded during COVID, same with gyms. So like the way that we're servicing our students has changed, but the mission hasn't. And it's honestly been a blessing in disguise, because now we can really meet our families where they're at and providing resources for them that they're not receiving at school, and helping them be more prepared for a world that I feel is inevitably coming, which is going to be crypto native, which is going to have hydroponic aspects to growing food and resources. And if we're starting that conversation at an early age, I think they're going to be in a really good position.
And that must be really rewarding work. I mean, you get to do it with a friend of yours, and I mean, gives back times 10, right?
Yeah. It's selfishly, it's a lot of, it's very rewarding. I feel selfish saying that, because we're giving so much, but I feel like I'm getting a lot from these students the more time I spend with them. And I'm just like, dang, how am I learning so much from my time with these students when, you know, I'm supposed to be the one who's like imparting knowledge on them, you know?
Well, I'm sure you impart plenty of knowledge on them. Well, listen, I mean, it sounds like Tyler's, you know, busy with this new TV show, ABC Food Tours keeps him busy. But, you know, despite being linked to, you know, Kristen Cavallari in the press, as far as I know, he's single. So you are his BFF. Like, what does Tyler need? Like, do you try to fix him up? Like, what does he need in a woman?
I'm no one to tell him what he needs. He's got to figure it out. I think when he's ready and he finds somebody that fits into what he's looking for, then he's gonna settle down. You know, he doesn't have a limit of options available. And I think that he's got a lot of things that he wants to accomplish as a man and as a businessman. And if he finds somebody who is on that same trajectory and making themselves better, and I think that's going to be a perfect match. So who knows? He's a wild card. You never know what's going to happen.
I was just going to say, I mean, listen, he does fine on his own, but you know, I mean, well, based on all that, what about Kristen Cavallari? Wouldn't she be a great fit for him?
I've never met Kristen. She seems like a wonderful woman. I've never met Kristen. I'm sure that if he's spending any significant amount of time with her, then she's got to be a good person. But yeah, I have no idea. I would give you something if I had it, but I've never met her. I've never spent any time with her, so I have no idea.
Well, I'm just going to put that out into the world. I'm going to will it to happen. What about, you know, you're busy with all of this, you know, there's so many people, like you look at like Wells Adams and like even like people that are not in Bachelor Nation, like last season, like we had David Spade, and like, do you have any interest, you know, like I know when they were, you know, like Rachel Lindsay, like they were talking about different hosts for Bachelor Nation. Do you have any interest in that, being part of this franchise and a hosting or other for any other capacity?
I think they're doing a good job. Like, I think that who they have hosting now is great. I think that when Caitlin and Nasha stepped in, like that was what needed to happen. So I don't know what value I could add, like maybe from a consulting standpoint and like giving them some ideas, but like I don't want to put a square peg into a circle peg. You know, like if I felt like I could add value, I would be, you know, more than happy to pursue something like that. But I don't think that's in line with, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish right now. Yeah, I don't know. I'll always be an advocate, and like anyone who is a part of the show has a direct line to me. I spoke to Clayton a lot last season, so I always want to be a resource. But I don't see any way that I could add value at the moment. So
what about your foreword in your book is written by Emilio Ocho? How did that come about?
That's my guy. I mean, we hit it off at AFR just because, you know, we're both in this like very peculiar position. You know, he's replacing somebody who's just a pillar of our community and Bachelor Nation, and having to step in and, do something that no one's ever had to do before, and then have this like very uncomfortable conversation. No pun intended, but like there wasn't a better person to lead that conversation. So, you know, when you connect with someone on that type of level, I just stayed in contact with them, and I reached out to him about it because he had such a unique vantage point into what was going on in my relationship and Rachel too. And so I just felt it was appropriate if he wanted to, and he graciously agreed. So I was very fortunate that he agreed to do that. And he couldn't have articulated it better.
Did he turn to you for any advice before hosting that? I mean, that I agree with you, like that could have been like a lose-lose situation, but it didn't end up being that way.
No, I think that, I think it went really well. I hadn't talked to him before because, you know, I don't think there was anything I could offer him to prepare him for that type of conversation. Like everything that he had done up until that point in his life had prepared him for that. So, I was just a willing participant to partake in that, you know, conversation. So no, he knocked it out of the park, and, I don't think that's the last we see of him in this space or anything else. So
I would agree with that. Before I have a few more questions about your book and then we'll wrap up. Is there someone, you know, having gone through it, like if I said to you, pick the next Bachelor and pick the next Bachelorette, any names come to the top of your list from Bachelor Nation?
If you really wanted to like revitalize the franchise and, like get it back on the right trajectory, put someone in that position that was wholesome, that was going to be solely there to find that person that they're looking for, and people would tune in who actually cared about that story and him finding that person, I think the Bachelor would have to be Tyler.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't know.
Do I think he would do it? I don't think he needs to do it. I don't think he needs to do anything. He's fine. But like, that would be a situation where the show needs him more than he needs the show. But if they were smart, they'd reach out to him and try to figure something out, because if anybody could direct that ship in the right direction, it would be him. A real, authentic, genuine person. And until then, like, best of luck with whatever they're trying to do.
I agree. I feel like they kind of missed the window on that. Like they would be more beneficial to them, but you know, one thing I've learned about, you know, the business is someone that doesn't want to do something, if you just back up the truck of money and there's enough of it.
You might have to give them some EP credit on that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That I'm just like spitballing right now. Like, I don't think that's actually ever going to happen, but if there was a possibility of them, or if they had put it on me to try to figure out a way to write that ship, then that's a conversation that I would seriously consider, and doing whatever they could to make it work. Or Michael. I like Michael a lot from Katie's season. I think that he would be a great, great, great option. I'm just basing that off like just real authentic people, like, you know, and those are two that stand out to me of people that would just be like knocked out of the park, just like what I would be looking for if I was casting for that.
I like both of those. Do you think it is, like, to your point, it's hard now, right? I mean, not even, we have the same thing with Housewives with almost any reality show. Like, it's hard to come in, right? Not studied, not with a plan in mind for when it's over. It's just hard to find these authentic people.
Well, that and the fact that like you just because you're a lead doesn't mean you're protected anymore. Like back in the day, they would go to extreme lengths to make sure that, you know, like you were like insulated. And but now it's like, man, the next person up, like you're chopped liver. So it's like, I think people are a little bit more cautious to stepping into something like that where you can get ripped up pretty bad. So I don't know. I think just people are just wising up. Like it's just a turning of the tides, and you just gotta just be more creative. And yeah.
I would agree. What do you want people to walk away as they read this great book? And like, you know, at the end to say like, you know, I thought I knew Matt James and now, wow. Like, what do you want people to take away from your story?
I want them to find at least one theme from the book that they can fall back on whenever they're going through something in life and be like, dang, like I remember this theme in Matt's book and this is what he went through and he got through it. And I want them to be able to draw strength from my experiences so that they don't find themselves in these like slumps when they're going through, you know, the hardships that life throws at you. And I think that this book will empower a lot of people to do that. So it's exciting selfishly, you know, for people to get it in their hands so that, you know, they can begin to, you know, have these experiences to lean on.
I like that. And then finally, is there one thing, like as people read this, what do you think they're going to be most shocked about? Like, do you think there's one thing that's going to stick out, you know, either like, you know, with your family? We talk about race, we talk about relations. Like, is there one thing you think people are going to be like, wow, I'm shocked?
Just my life experiences. Like I've lived a crazy life. And when they see the things that I've been through and they can relate to those things, they're going to just be more in stride with like who I am as a person. Like, wow, me and Matt have lived similar lives. Like I've done these things as well as some tea. You know, there's some good tea in there that I hadn't shared yet about, Bastard Nation that should be interesting and to get people's thoughts and ears on. So there's going to be a lot to be taken away from.
There is tea. I mean, like I literally picked this up thinking, you know, it'd be about you and your life, and I was thrilled to read it. But I was like, I didn't realize we were actually going to talk this much about the Bachelor, guys. Like this, I was pleasantly surprised. I was going to read it anyway, but I was like, there's tea here, guys. So
we went a little bit.
And I mean, pre-order, everyone needs to pre-order it now. May 3rd is, come on, let's hurry up. It's not that far away.
It's coming.
But, you know, thank you for being so open and honest in this book. I really feel like, you know, you talk about authenticity, like you kind of just put it all out there. Thank you for talking to me for an hour. I really appreciate that. And I think it's a great book. So, you know, you have to tell Rachel I said hello.
I will.
And, you know, like to your point, she hasn't done podcasts. She hasn't done GMA. But you know what? Here behind the velvet rope, the door is open for Rachel any day she would like to come. Okay. I wasn't that hard on you, right, Matt? We had a nice little conversation.
No, you were good. No, you took it easy on me. You didn't beat me up.
So, you know, where can everyone find you that doesn't already follow you or that wants to pre-order this?
Instagram at MattJames919, Twitter MattJames919. And if you're bored at work, get on TikTok, MattJames919. All the social platforms and a bunch of links there to the book. So yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for doing this. Keep in touch anytime. And this is going to be a New York Times bestseller. I'm predicting it right now, just from me to you.
Put it out there, David.
Let's put it out there. I can feel it. Listen, I read a lot of books like this. I can feel it already. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Anytime. Take care.
You, David.
Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you, guys. See you soon.
first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.